You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Well, they tell us we're supposed to get some rain this week, but wouldn't that be a nice thing? But I tell you, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Those water droplets, which were so plentiful around here a year ago, now seem but a distant memory. And it's a bit odd when you think about the power of water that we have seen over this last year. Hurricanes and massive flooding and billions of dollars of damage. They were the subject of so much of our attention. It's really a little hard for those of us who live here in Southern California, an arid climate, to really understand the power of water, even something as basic as a river. When you think about it, how many rivers do you know of in Southern California that are really flowing year-round? I can still remember a trip that Linda and I took years ago driving up Highway 1, specifically when we came to the bridge in Astoria that crosses the Columbia River from the Oregon to the Washington side. Have any of you ever been there before? That's a lot of water. And when you're driving that narrow road surrounded by water on both sides, the river on both sides of you, well, you start to really sense the power of water, and you want to make sure you keep driving that straight line. Well, while water can be a force that's destructive, we also know it has the ability to physically change the landscape in which it flows. It is also something to us that is very life-giving. Simply stated, we know there is no life without water. The existence of plants and animals is dependent on there being a steady supply of water. So it really, friends, is no surprise that throughout our human history, water has also taken on a symbolic and a spiritual significance. Certain bodies of water are enshrined, whether it be something like the River Ganges or naturally occurring springs considered holy ground by indigenous peoples. It is the subject of myth, whether it be something like the Fountain of Youth or the ancient story of the flood and Noah and his family or the parting of the waters in the story of the Exodus or healing powers that are even attributed to certain hot springs. Human culture has a variety of rituals of purification that involve water, and it is simply something that is deeply ingrained in our Jewish and Christian heritage. In Judaism, there was the practice of ritual washing, seen as a way to restore or to maintain a state of ritual purity, and its origins are found back in the Torah. This might include the washing of hands or feet, or even the total immersion in some cases. During the time of the temple, this was practiced by priests, and converts to Judaism were immersed in water. So our Christian practices when it comes to water are not an isolated thing. We have a common experience around water, and the act of baptism that we remembered this morning in particular, it predates our current practice far, far back into time. Now, the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all share a story about the baptism of Jesus. And common to their stories is the notion that John, the baptizer, was in the wilderness calling people to repentance, to leading a new and righteous life. And this was symbolized through the baptisms he was conducting at the River Jordan. John, of course, is interpreted to be the one who, as the prophet suggested, would be that voice that was crying in the wilderness, setting the stage for the one who was to come. And this story of Jesus' baptism is used to mark the beginning of his ministry in the gospel stories. And there is further emphasis in the story that this act was met with God's favor. Some talk about seeing a dove descending as a sign that the Spirit was at work. And also the words that were spoken, "This is my Son." God's words, "This is my Son with whom I am pleased." Well, the practice of baptism transferred into our Christian practice. Now, regardless of the interpretation of its significance, remission of original sin, let's say, or not, a sign of belief on the part of the individual, or not. A disagreement, how it should be done, infants, adults only, full immersion, sprinkling. Regardless, it is still a powerful symbol of a change of status with relationship to the gathered community of the faithful. At a very, very basic level, baptism is a statement that we are now a part of the family, a part of God's family, in a way that we had not been previously. And it's that emphasis, I believe, which is so important for us to grab a hold of for the time and place in which we live, that all of us gathered here are part of one family. Well, for argument's sake, you might be thinking, well, don't we talk about the fact that we are all God's children, part of one human family? Well, depending on the vantage point, that is an opinion that is held by many. But we are certainly aware that there are those who might argue that fact, given some of the decisions we tend to make politically and religiously. But the thing I want us to consider about baptism is that it is an intentional act, either on the part of a parent who requests this for their child, or on the part of the individual saying, "This is something I want. This is something I need." It is an intentional statement, an intentional practice. It is not something which is accidental. See, I believe that our baptism represents our willingness, our desire, and our commitment to be part of this faith family, of this faith community. This community, friends, is not one in which we are anonymous. Instead, we are saying that we have chosen, we've intentionally chosen to be related to one another. We have willingly become a part of this family. And that's what flies in the face of so much religious practice in this place and time. We often carry a mistaken notion that our religion is an individual thing, a private, personal experience to which God calls us. And the challenge for us who say that we are followers of Jesus is that this attitude just does not jive with our understanding of who we are. Followers of Jesus are communal. We are family-oriented by definition. And yes, like any family, that can come with a lot of baggage. We probably don't have to really spend too much time naming that baggage, but I would ask you now in a moment of reflection to just pause and think and consider, what is some of that baggage we carry? What is it that makes it hard for us to be a family? Shall we think about that for a few moments? I always appreciate the fact that this remembrance of Jesus' baptism generally is associated with the beginning of the calendar year, because I think it's a wonderful time for us in this season of Epiphany, this season of seeing the light, to think about how is it I might recommit to this practice of family. And I suspect one of the ways we need to do that is by asking ourselves a few questions. And what are some of those questions to consider? Well, I think the place where it starts for all of us is we ask ourselves the question, is this my family or not? What is my response to that question? If I say it is my family, what can I do? What can I do to really increase the sense that it is mine? so that I might feel more connected, so that we might feel more interconnected. If my response is that I do not feel this is my family, what do I need to do? Where might I reach out so that I feel the connection, so that I feel a part of the purposes aligned together? Friends, the time in which we live is one where it's easy to see division. It is easy to see positions. It is so easy to dig our heels in and to draw those proverbial lines in the sand that we're not willing to cross. And it's for times like these that I feel the family of faith, God's family brought together in baptism, is needed more than ever. Because it is our task, it is our job to show what family can truly be. And when family comes together, what it can truly achieve. So as we approach this year ahead of us, what is God calling us to do? How is God asking us to be related to one another? What are the steps that each of us will take? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.